My dearly beloved in Christ, Catholics must be very cautious about what they read and believe because Satan appeals to our weakness and has countless traps to deceive us. Traditional Catholics must be guided by truth, not by erroneous opinions or heresy. Truth is conformity of the mind to reality. Since the teachings of the Catholic Church have been revealed by God, they are true. The internet provides a vast amount of information, both true and false. It contains fact and fiction, unproven theories, and outright lies. Unfortunately, heretics and militant atheists are using the internet and other means to proselytize and mislead souls. It's likely that at some point your Catholic beliefs will be challenged, skewed, or even attacked by others. Due to the many spiritual dangers facing Catholics today, I'm beginning a series of sermons defending the chief teachings of the Catholic Church. Since the Catholic Church is the one true church, it's relatively easy to defend its doctrines because they have been revealed by God Himself and are reasonable and logical. If we have a better understanding of the doctrines of our faith, we can guide others and even be instrumental in their conversion. When I gave catechetical instructions to a Baptist convert in Amarillo, Texas, he asked many questions about the Catholic faith, including devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was easy to give him well-founded and logical answers. The convert told me that when he asked questions to his former Protestant minister, he always received the same answer. There's no particular reason why we worship this way or believe these things. We just do it. All the doctrines of the Catholic Church are contained in the deposit of faith, scripture, and tradition. This includes devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Since this is a theme in today's gospel relating to the miracle at Cana, I'll answer some objections of Protestants who erroneously claim that devotion to Mary is not based in Scripture, that it's offensive to God, that no one should pray to Our Lady because there is one mediator with the Father, etc. Since Satan hates the Blessed Virgin Mary so much, he inspires heretics to teach false doctrines and hinder devotion to her. These attacks have been refuted many times. St. Louis Marie de Montfort stated, "It's through the Most Holy Virgin Mary that Jesus came into the world, and it's also through her that he has to reign in the world. Mary has been, up to this time, insufficiently known, and this is one of the reasons that Jesus is not known as he ought to be. It was only through Mary that God the Father gave his only begotten Son to the world. The Son of God became man for our salvation, but was in Mary and by Mary. God the Holy Ghost formed Jesus Christ in Mary, but it was only after asking her consent by Saint Gabriel, the archangel." My dearly beloved in Christ, if we examine closely our blessed Lord's life, we shall see that it was his will to begin his miracles by Mary. He sanctified Saint John the Baptist in the womb of his mother, Saint Elizabeth, but it was by Mary's word. No sooner had she spoken than St. John was sanctified, and this was his first and greatest miracle of grace. At the marriage of Cana, Christ changed water into wine, but it was at Mary's humble prayer. And this was his first miracle of nature. He began and continued his miracles by Mary, and he will continue them to the end of ages by Mary. Since Mary is the mother of the Redeemer, and cooperated in his redemptive work, God wills that all graces be distributed by her. Father Juniper Carroll describes the foundation of devotion in the Blessed Virgin Mary. "In God there is neither past nor future, nor a succession of time. Everything is eternally present to him. The complete chain of events taking place in time, such as the fall of our first parents, the incarnation and redemption, were foreseen by him from all eternity. Our Lady's specific mission in God's plan is a result of a positive act on the part of God's will from eternity. Therefore, it's God's will that we practice devotion to Mary. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we read how our first parents, Adam and Eve, committed original sin by disobeying God's command. Satan, disguised in the form of a serpent, first tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. After Eve had eaten, she tempted Adam, who also partook of it. My dearly beloved in Christ, Eve, who had been tempted by Satan to disobey God's command, led Adam into sin. Thus, Adam, with Eve's cooperation, brought about the fall of mankind. After they had sinned, God punished them and their descendants. However, he mercifully promised to send a redeemer. And the Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. Writing in Hebrew, Moses, the author of Genesis, joined the feminine pronoun he with the masculine verb asaf, shall crush. So he means she, and then asaf means shall crush, in order to show that the woman, Mary, by and through her divine son, would crush Satan's head. She shall crush thy head. Our Lord wanted to clearly indicate that the Blessed Virgin Mary was the woman spoken of in Genesis who had crushed Satan's head. Therefore, Christ called his mother woman on two occasions. At the wedding of Cana, where he worked his first miracle at her request, and from the cross, when Christ gave his mother to the care of his apostle, St. John. In St. John's account of the miracle of Cana, we read, and the wine having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, what wouldst thou have me do, woman? My hour has not yet come. St. John Chrysostom said, although he answered thus, yet he complied with his mother's prayer, that he might give honor to her, and not seem stubborn to her, nor put her to shame when so many were present. Christ obeyed his mother, and to honor her, performed a miracle. My dearly beloved in Christ, nevertheless, Protestants often referred to these scriptural verses in order to try to demonstrate that Christ dishonored his mother by calling her woman. Concerning this topic, Fathers Rumble and Cardi have written, in the language Christ spoke, the word woman was a term of great respect, however harshly it may sound in our modern English language. Our Lord would have been the last to slight his mother, a thing we despise in every man, and above all, in his last and most tender words to her. Although in English, we don't call our mother woman, because it would be disrespectful. In Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, it was a respectable title, a term that would be addressed to a queen or a woman of high rank. We find the word woman used in this way in the Iliad and the Odyssey. Although Christ's words, what wouldst thou have me do, woman, may sound like a refusal, the Blessed Virgin Mary had full confidence that her divine son would perform a miracle and told the attendants, do whatever he tells you. According to some scripture scholars, our Lord speaks here not as man and son of Mary, but as God. Therefore, before performing his first public miracle, the first public sign of his divinity wrought by himself, he wanted to bring out publicly the fact that he was doing it not as the son of an earthly mother and according to his human nature, but calling upon his divine nature as the eternal Son of God. He thus brought out both for the listeners and for us that this beginning of miracles was proof of his divinity, although in appearance he seemed only a man. My dearly beloved in Christ, the words Our Lady addressed to her divine son, they have no wine, express her faith, charity, prudence, meekness, piety, and compassion for the newlyweds. Foreseeing the distress of the newly married couple, she asked Christ to assist them. The words Jesus addressed to his mother were not a rebuke or disrespectful. If the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was so completely conformed to the holy will of God, felt reprehended, she would have dropped the matter and would have not told the waiters to do what her son would tell them. The miracle at Cana illustrates the intercessory power of Our Lady. God wills that we should pray to him through her. Such prayers to the Mother of God are of utmost value. That God permits such mediation is evident from the fact that he allowed Abraham to plead with him for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. St. Paul declared himself to be a mediator in this sense when he wrote to the Colossians, "We have been praying for you." In a crucial battle, Moses prayed with arms outstretched and interceded with God to procure victory for the Israelites over their enemies. As long as he prayed, they were victorious. When he ceased his prayer, the Israelites began to lose. Because of this, it was necessary for two men to hold up Moses' arms in prayer until the battle was won. On another occasion, Joshua prayed to God to have the day prolonged in order to win an important battle. When we pray for one another, we act as intercessors for them to God. So much more then is the Blessed Virgin Mary our intercessor with her divine Son. Concerning Our Lady's intercessory power, St. Louis Marie de Montfort has written, "If Moses, by the force of his prayer, stayed the anger of God against the Israelites in a manner so powerful that the Most High and infinitely merciful Lord, being unable to resist him, told him to let him alone that he might be angry with and punish that rebellious people, what must we not, with much greater reason, think of the prayer of the humble Mary, that worthy Mother of God, which is more powerful with his majesty than the prayers and intercessions of all the angels and saints?" In their attack against intercessory prayer, Protestants misinterpret St. Paul's words in his epistle to Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 5. "There's only one mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ." Yes, there is only one mediator with God the Father, Jesus Christ. Only the God-man, Jesus Christ, could have redeemed mankind. Nevertheless, the Bible says that it is allowed and very useful to pray for one another on earth and to invoke the prayers of the angels and saints. Our most powerful and loving intercessor is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who continually intercedes for us with her divine Son. According to St. Louis Marie de Montfort, to go to Jesus, we must go to Mary. She is our mediatrix of intercession. To go to God the Father, we must go to Jesus, for he is our mediator of redemption. My dearly beloved in Christ, God knows how much all of us need a mother. This is why our Lord gave our Blessed Mother to us. As Christ was dying on the cross, he spoke to all of us when he said, "Behold thy mother." We can find proof of devotion to Our Lady in the writings of the early Christians, the carved records and paintings in the catacombs, and by the observance of devotional practices to her, institution of feast in her honor. The Catholic Church does not want us to forget our Mother in Heaven, but to turn to her often for protection and assistance. In closing, St. Bernard described Mary's influence on our spiritual life. "When you follow her, you do not go astray. When you pray to her, you do not despair. When she holds you up, you do not fall. When she protects you, you need not fear. When she leads you, you do not tire. When she is favorable to you, you arrive at the harbor of safety. She keeps her Son from punishing us. She keeps the devil from hurting us. She keeps our virtues from escaping us. She keeps our merits from being destroyed, and she keeps our graces from being lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.